Book of James, if you would, please. And again, thank you so much for being here in this beautiful Wednesday evening. And yes, although it's warm out there, it still is a beautiful day. This is the day that the Lord hath made, right? And we will rejoice and be glad in it. James chapter 1. If you found your place there, please stand out of love and respect for the Word of God. I'll read out loud. You follow along silently here in the book of James, just the first 11 verses tonight. James, a servant of God, and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. So far we've talked about James. We've talked about who he was, what he was known to have accomplished in the Word of God. And I'm not going to go over all those things just for sake of time. We also talked about how this book is known as the Proverbs of the New Testament, giving a practical guide to the Christian life and to the conduct of the Christian. It deals with ethics and morals and just those practical things that we can all benefit from in our daily Christian life. And guess what? Who likes to benefit in your daily Christian life? Yeah, I mean, we should want to, right? No, I don't want to. I want to live in a deficit. You know, nobody wants to live in a deficit. You know, we want to be abundant. We want to be pushing forward. We want to be joyful. We want God working in and through us each and every day. And let me just say something here about that. You know, that's your choice. God wants to do those things in you. We're the ones that stop him. You understand that? And we're going to talk about that here in a little bit more. But as we went on, we talked about counting everything joy. We know that in 1 Thessalonians, Paul told the people there in Thessalonica, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You understand that things in life don't always go well. But you know what we can do? We can rejoice. We can. You say, but Pastor, when the worst thing imaginable happens to me, hey, did you hear what the missionary said? Yeah. Did he sound discouraged? No, he sounds kind of happy that God is working in their ministry over there. Does it sound pretty awful? Yeah. Okay. How many of you want to sign up to go over there? Yeah, not very many, right? And so you understand that this is a practical thing. And listen, here in America, and especially here in Texas, we've got it good, folks. We do. And do I have a lot of gripes and complaints? Oh, sure. Everybody does. Would I like to see our country be a little better? Yeah, oh, absolutely. Would I like to see some things different? Oh, sure. But most of the time we just get down and discouraged and we forget that God is our joy. That Jesus Christ is. And we ought to count all these difficulties joy, because the trying of our faith works patience. And patience has her perfect work in us, that we can be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So this is a process that God has for us to go through for our benefit. He says, hey, these things are not bad. And I've said this before. You understand that the Bible tells us that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You see, the biggest obstacle that we have as Christians
is us. That's our biggest obstacle. We do not like to experience tragedy. We do not like to experience defeat. We do not like to experience distress. We do not like to... But God says these things are there to perfect you. They're there to help you. That you can be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That's kind of opposite of what the world says, isn't it? You say, how can things be perfect if you're experiencing tragedy and difficulty and trials and troubles and tribulations? How can you be complete when something is taken away from you? That's because God's economy is different than man's economy. Give, and it shall be given unto you. You understand? It's way different. So we got to understand that God says, hey, this is how it is. And then in verse 5, James pipes up and says this, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. So I think James, this is I told you, I promised I'd tell you whenever I feel something is my opinion. James gives a greeting. That's pretty understandable, right? And then he immediately, and we talked about this, this may have been written during the time of Saul of Tarsus, you know, kind of stirring up trouble amongst the Christians and scattering abroad the 12 tribes. You understand what's going on here. And he says, count it all joy when ye enter into diverse temptations, right? So you kind of get the feeling of this. Then he says this, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. So you know what I think? I think he says, if you don't understand this, ask God to make it plain to you. If you don't get why this is happening, if you don't understand this process that you can count it all joy, you can go through these things and should go through these things, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, and let patience have her perfect work, right? That you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. In other words, God's going to take care of it all. And if you lack wisdom, ask God about it. That's kind of how I think it's going here. As James is writing and talking to these people. And he's saying, look, I want to be a blessing to you. And we believe that this is the James who was the pastor there, the church in Jerusalem. So certainly he's going to be uplifting and encouraging his church members. And he's going to say, you know what? It's okay that we're going through this. It's okay that some are being murdered. It's okay that some are being imprisoned. It's okay that you've been scattered abroad. And now you're over in different countries and far away from loved ones. It's all right, and if you don't understand it, ask God, he'll take care of it all. You see, this is a different perspective than what we're used to as human beings. We want to just freak out about everything, right? If things don't go right. And we want to say, why, right? No, where's the faith? Where's the patience? Do you know that God is the master craftsman? Remember, he's called the potter. And we're the what? Yeah. You know how annoying it would be if you were a potter and your clay could talk? Yeah, you got it on the wheel there, right? Hey, stop pushing me around. What? Ow! No. That's too thin. That part's too thick. You know, I mean. No, I'm not talking about your physique. Okay. No, but he's, no, not that tall. I want to be shorter. No, that's too short. I want to be taller. Could you imagine this clay? Just shut up. I'd be an impatient potter, I think. I'd be here, let me get rid of that lump of clay, get a different lump of clay. Oh, I like how that feels. Okay, good. Okay, you're nice clay. All right. But yet we do the same thing to God. And if we would find that annoying, I know God's perfect. He probably doesn't get annoyed by things. But you understand that we've got to put it in his hands. And just let him. Don't you want him to work in your life? There's a song, it says, and I praise the day he didn't throw the clay away, is one of some of the words in the song. Over and over, he molds me and shapes me. You understand that God works with us and continues to work with us. He's long-suffering. His tender mercies and loving kindnesses are just abounding. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. They give it to all men liberally. You understand that God wants us to understand. God wants us to know what's going on. Hello? He's given us a book. And I've said this before, and I'll continue to say it again. It's my opinion. But I do not believe that the human mind can completely consume this entire book. I just don't. I mean, I know there's some smart people out there that can retain a lot of information. But you know what? I've been doing this for a little while now. And I do read my Bible. And I do study my Bible. And I still read passages of Scripture and go, I didn't know that was in there. And I mean, I've read it before. I mean, I knew it was in there, but I didn't know it was in there. It's just how our mind... I mean, I forget my name sometimes. You know, it just... You obviously excuse me if I forget my children's name, you know. Just you, you know. But yeah, so we are finite. He is infinite. So you understand that God wants us to know these things. And he says, hey, if you don't know, if you don't understand, just ask God. Remember in Jeremiah... I hate to bring that up again because we ended that one. But you understand, he says, stand ye in the ways and what? And see, right? And ask for the old paths. So, is he one of those people that say, I don't want you to ask any questions? No, I don't want you to know anything. Stop asking me. Don't do that. No, he says, ask. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek, right? Knock and it shall be opened unto you. You understand, God wants this relationship with us. He's not trying to hide anything from us. He's not trying to keep anything from us. He wants us to know. Proverbs chapter 2, Solomon writes and says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom. Folks, listen, we need to be stretching toward wisdom. Not shying away from it. How badly do you want to know what God is doing in your life? Or are you just saying, you know what? God's going to do whatever he's going to do anyways. It doesn't matter if I know about it or not. Whatever. No, God doesn't want a whatever Christian. He wants you to be involved with what he's doing in your life. He says, incline thine ear unto wisdom. Apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures. You understand these are all very extreme action words here. Right? What should the Christian actively be doing? Going after wisdom and knowledge and instruction and understanding. James says, if you lack wisdom, just ask God. He giveth to all men liberally. And then here's an interesting thing he uses. He says, and upbraideth not. Let me encourage you to go study that word upbraideth. It's an interesting word. And it tells us why James used that word and how God works with us. He says he upbraideth not. So upbraiding is something bad. Okay, I'm not going to give it to you because I'm going to make you go study it. All right. He says he upbraideth not. Let me just give you a little bit of a key. It tells us in Ephesians, right? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother. You understand that, right? And then what later on it says this. It says, Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. So if God's going to tell us not to provoke our children to wrath, do you suppose He'll do the same? He'll do that to us? He'll provoke us to wrath? No, see, that'll give you a little bit of an insight to what upbraideth not is talking about. He's not going to deal with us that way. That's not how God deals with His children. So God wants to deal with us in a proper fashion. So it says here that He upbraideth not. He says that, and it shall be given him. Okay? So God's going to give us what we need. And He's going to do it liberally, and He's not going to do it in a improper fashion. So God is doing these things for us in our lives. Back in Proverbs chapter 2, Solomon continues and says this, then, after you seek and cry and search and apply and incline your heart, he says, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the ways of His saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths. You understand that wisdom makes it possible for us to turn trials into triumphs. We can make it through these difficult times. We can have the joy we need. Where do we get wisdom? We get it from God. You understand that God is going to be the giver of wisdom. He's the one that helps us to understand. And all we have to do is ask. He wants us to have it. It says in verse 6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Now, as you think about this, he's talking about going through these trials and patience having her perfect work and all these things happening in our lives. Remember, he said that before that the trying of our faith worketh patience. And now he says, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. You see, he's building upon the thoughts as he's going through, encouraging these Christians that are scattered abroad, that are experiencing this great difficulty after they've just experienced a great excitement and growth and building of the church there in Jerusalem. And now they're kind of being dashed into pieces and scattered abroad. He's trying to pick up the pieces and put it all back together again for them, to help them to see what God is doing in their lives. Hey, listen, if we look back to what God did, what a great work that was accomplished. What did the church do during that first 1,000 years or so? Amazing things. And if you will, supernatural things. Think about the hindrances that they had in travel, right? Alone. It took months to get to certain places, or maybe years even to get to certain. And some places they weren't even able to get to. But yet they accomplished a great number of things. Just Paul and his ministry around the area of Asia Minor and such and so forth. You understand, all that was done is what God wanted accomplished. And he has a man here encouraging these people to continue on. Can I tell you something? God wants to do something marvelous and great and exciting and wonderful today. And he wants to do it in your lives. And he wants to do it in local churches like this one all across the world. He wants to do it in these quote-unquote God-forsaken countries. He wants to do it everywhere. But we've got to let God work in and through us. Our faith cannot waver. Now, I don't have time to go through all the different things. And I preached some messages maybe several years ago now. That's funny. I can't even believe I can just say that. December will be my third anniversary. Can you? You're like, really? Seems like it's been 20, you know? Wow. I just said I preached that years ago. That's amazing. Anyways, that just blew my mind. What was I talking about? Oh, faith. No faith. Little faith. Much faith. Great faith. So great faith. You understand, this thing of faith and this thing of growing faith, and we've talked about that. We've talked about building our lives as Christians. He says, you need to ask in faith, nothing wavering. This thing about wisdom, this thing about knowledge, this thing about patience having a perfect work, this thing about our faith growing, and all these things that James is trying to put together for these Christians that have just been scattered abroad around the world, he says God is able. Believe. Have faith. Don't waver. Remember this. Luke 24, there's a couple of disciples walking on the road to Emmaus. Remember that? After the crucifixion of Christ and the death, the burial, and they did not yet know about the resurrection. It says, then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them, and it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, and took bread, and blessed it, and brake it, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, do not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? You remember Peter on the water asked the Lord if he could come out and walk on the water with him, and the Lord said, come. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith. Listen to what he says here. Wherefore didst thou doubt? That's what James is saying here. He's saying, listen, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. What is it going to take to shake your faith? What is it going to take to drive you away from God? Listen, if Peter sees out there in the distance a figure, says, Lord, if it's you, bid me come on the water. And Jesus said, come. Okay, you understand, we've made a connection here. The man gets out of the boat, stands solidly on the water, and no, it was not frozen. And he's walking out to Jesus. Okay, what more do you need to establish strong faith? This is pretty amazing. And then he looks around And he sees these waves in the wind. He sees the boisterous unsettledness of life and things. And that causes him to doubt and he begins to sink. When Jesus caught him, you understand, he asked Peter a question. He said, "Wherefore didst thou doubt?" He's like, "I don't get it." And sometimes I think that God has done so many great and mighty things in our lives. He looks down and yes, he's going to reach down and grab us and pull us up out of it. But he's going to look at us and say, "Okay, what's it going to take for me to get through to you that your faith doesn't need to waver? I'm here. My word is here." Hey, James is saying to these people, look, you're scattered all abroad. Don't worry about these trials. Don't worry about if people get killed. Don't worry about this. He says, count it all joy. Go through it with patience. Let her have her perfect work. Let her make you complete and entire and wanting nothing. And let God be your source of supply. And if you don't understand it, ask him and he'll tell you. Do you see what I'm trying to emphasize tonight? We have so much going for us, folks. God is on our side. Hey, and guess what? We can flip to the last pages here. And guess what? We win! And in a battle, some soldiers die. Some persevere. Some turn and run. All those things happen in a battle. But we win. And God's doing things in your lives, and I know you probably don't understand all of them. He says, even if you don't understand, just ask it. But he says, when you ask, he says, make sure that you're asking in faith. Nothing wavering. Nothing wavering. You know what? Let me put it to you this way. Don't worry about it. We have a little cute little chorus in our hymn books. Why worry when you can pray? Trust Jesus, he'll be your stay. Don't be a doubting Thomas. Trust fully on his promise. Why worry, 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 worry when you can pray? Don't worry about it. Hey, I don't have time to read all these verses about wisdom and about faith. But you understand that faith is for the just. The just shall live by faith. We say that we see that over and over again. We understand that all these things are for our perfecting. They're for our abundance. They're so that we can grow up in all things. And it's all by faith. And it's by wisdom, and it's by God, and he's the one that we're trusting. Why are you letting this other stuff allow you to sink? Why do we allow these things to conflict the circumstances and conflict our minds and our hearts and cause us to draw away from God? He tells us it's going to happen. And he says it's going to be this way. Hey, look. He told his disciples, hey, we're going to go to Jerusalem. They're going to kill me. And I'm going to raise again the third day. And guess what they do when they come to take him away at the garden? And when they come to the tomb. Wow. Whoa. You know, they should have sat there and said, you know what? Yeah, I know he's not there. He told us he wasn't going to be there. Of course he's not there. I'm not surprised at all. And when he comes walking, well, he didn't really walk through. Well, I guess he came through the wall. They shouldn't have been surprised. I mean, and Jesus even kind of ate Thomas's lunch a little bit. He said, why'd you doubt? I mean, I told you it was going to be like this. Here, look, go ahead. Go ahead. It's better. if you haven't seen these things and believe. Folks, we've been given so much in the Word of God. God's Word is true. It's ours to have. It's ours to know. God wants us to know. He says, and if you don't know, ask me. You know, I, as a father, that's one thing I constantly try to tell my kids. Just ask. Just ask. I want you to know these things. Now, sometimes I tell them no. Sometimes I tell them yes. Sometimes I tell them wait. Sometimes I don't say anything. But that's my prerogative as a father. Come on, dads, right? Back me up here. And that's his prerogative. You say, but God's not answering me. Wait upon the Lord. Have faith. You know, Peter should have been out in the boat. He should have saw all those waves walk as he's walking around. He said, and he should have just kept his eyes on Jesus because that's where his faith should have been. And we need to be the same way in our lives as Christians if we're going to make it through. Unbelief always says no. Faith always says yes. You understand how that works? You know what? I know that God's going to do great things at this church. You say, Pastor, we know you're the eternal optimist. Every cloud is solid silver. It doesn't just have a silver lining, it's solid silver. Okay, fine. But I've decided that God can. And like Sunday, maybe I'm just a Caleb. I just want that mountain. It doesn't matter how old I am. It doesn't matter how decrepit I am. It doesn't matter how big or small our church is. I know that God can. He's able. And that's how we need to live in these days and times. God wants us to be stable. He doesn't want us to be wavering. He doesn't want us to be double-minded. He wants us to grow. He wants us to say, yes, God can. And not say, no, God can't. You know who wants you to doubt? The devil. Yea, hath God said. Hey, Peter, these waves, you're going to drown. Oh, you shall not surely die. It's doubt. God wants us to be sure of these things. Paul writes in Colossians 1, for this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. That's what our life is to be for the Lord. And let me tell you something. You can't do it without wisdom. You can't do it without faith. You can't do it without these things. James says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Won't you think on these things from the book of James, this book of wisdom here in the New Testament, as we step forward step by step for the Lord, as we go through these trials and this cycle of perfection in our lives, God's in control. And he wants to use you in a mighty way. Will you let him? Will you allow him? Will you ask him? That's all he wants. And will you trust him by faith?